Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoors Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. I am definitely not a nocturnal creature. I am in bed by 9 p.m. and up by 4:30 a.m. I have had that farm boy mentality my entire life. Either you are diurnal, which means you are active during the day, or to coin the phrase, you are a night owl. And I'll get to owls in a little bit. Nocturnal means that you are awake and active at night. You will sleep or rest during the day. There are predators and prey that are nocturnal. Obviously, if you are prey animals, you're foraging or feeding at night in the hopes that there will be less predators who are on the same schedule as you. Predators find less competition for food at night. It's like there's only enough seats at the table. So you think about this. If you got bumped off the table, you didn't get to feed. So if you're a nocturnal creature, that means you have the night shift at the table for food. Some of the adaptations of nocturnal animals are they have a keen sense of smell and hearing. Also, their night vision is very good. Animals who live in the desert, so think about this, you're nocturnal for a specific reason. So you can avoid the extreme daytime temperatures. Because water is scarce, by being active at night, you can conserve your water loss. And that's key. That's vital for survival anywhere you go. People that have never been to the desert think that the nighttime temps remain the same or are close to those daytime temperatures. Not true. The desert soils and rocks absorb the daytime sun, but give off that energy so quickly at night. It's an environment of extremes. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Prey species avoid the many predators that are diurnal. Makes sense. I'll give you a real cool example. You probably have seen this on so many of the nature shows. Sea turtles lay their eggs at night for two reasons. First, they are designed and well-suited for swimming in the sea. But to watch them shimmy their bodies through the sand makes them an easy target for predators. Night cover allows for them to safely deposit their eggs. The new hatchlings, for the most part, come out at night or on dark, rainy days where there'd be very few predators out during dark, rainy days and scurry to the sea for protection. See, their protection happens to be once they hit open water. Frogs, they breed at night, and that's what all that croaking is about, if you didn't know it, is they're trying to attract a mate. What I also, again, I'm an environmental scientist, so I'm thinking you're attracting a mate and you're also attracting predators, but hey, one takes over instinctually than the other. I won't say any more about that. Then, after they've been up at night, the frogs can then take advantage of the feeding of nocturnal insects. So, you know, and I'll talk to you about moths later on, but moths and mosquitoes, there's so many different insects that are also nocturnal as well. Lions, and this I think is a really cool fact, for those of you that are Lion King fans out there, lions hunt at night because zebras and antelopes have poor vision. That's pretty neat. The term blind as a bat is not true at all. And I've heard so many people, and again, we use this in reference to humans, because they see well and use echolocation. So two things. So here it is. It is not even dark out. I'm lighting a fire out in the fire pit outside of my property. Four people are getting there. I'm just sitting there hanging out with a beverage, of course. And I'm just sitting there. And while I'm sitting relaxing, I see the bats, and by me, there are little brown bats, and I just see them scurrying about, and they're feeding, and it's light out, so I know that they see very well. And then as it gets darker, they begin to use echolocation, and they are just sending out, basically they're sending out sound waves, come back to their brain, emits an image, and they know exactly what they're feeding on. An example I give you, and I've spoke about this one time on another show, but I use this when I'm speaking to audiences, you know, on stage, wherever. So you think about this. The scientists did an experiment. They had a room. They set up all these fishing line, which is very difficult to see, stretched them all the way across. So there were different heights, different directions. And then they let loose a bunch of moths in a room. So they're flying about, lights are off. And the bats are going down and they are zipping down and just getting moths, never hitting a wire, because when they would send out echolocation, coming back to their brains, they know exactly where the wire was or the fishing line, and they knew exactly what a moth looked like, and they'd get the moth. Then the scientists replicated the experiment, but they started to let moths go, so to speak, one at a time. And every now and then, they took a white marble, because they were white moths, a white marble the same size as the moth, and they would throw it up. And you'd see the bat swooping down, and as it's swooping down, it would do echolocation. Back in its brain was, they don't know what a marble is, but they know it's not a moth, and would just turn away. And they never went after a marble, they only went after a moth. So they are well suited for nocturnal hunting. Now, owls, they have good eyesight, and I'm going to tell you about that, but let's talk about their hearing. Now, this is an amazing fact, so I'll just use it on the in terms of distances, so a human would understand this. So there's two goalposts each side of a field, whether they're soccer or football, doesn't matter. So you have that picture, that image of how far away, 100 yards, 110, 130 yards away, depending on the size of the field you're using for what sport. Now, if an owl was sitting on one post, he could actually hear a mouse walking under the snow 100 yards away, leave one goalpost, fly off, talons crunching into the snow, and get a mouse. That is, like, when you talk about, like, the things in nature that are just amazing, that is, to me, is like, yeah, I am just marveled at that one. Now, other animals that are nocturnal are skunks, and some people don't like them. I think they are cool-looking creatures, whether it's Eastern Spotted, Western or Eastern Striped, Western Spotted. I often talk to you about, there was a skunk and he would be on my front porch every single evening. I guess he would just hang out above there. And when I would come home, he'd be on the front porch and I'd be there and I would just stop. He would look at me. I would look at him. I'd simply take one step back and he would just walk off the porch and just walk away. And there was no problem. We respected each other. I respected his space by taking that one step back. And he would just walk away going, all right, hey. And I guess in his mind, he was like, okay, nighttime, I'm going to leave here. I'm going to mosey on over there. The porch is now yours. Other nocturnal animals, badgers. I haven't done a show on badgers yet. They are a cool creature. Raccoons. Now, if you're talking about raccoons, and no, I'm not, because right away people are saying, well, raccoons in my garbage. No, I'm talking about animals in the wild. Raccoons, what makes them so cool, if you're ever watching them in the evening, raccoons, the same way you're supposed to prepare your foods and wash your foods, raccoons, if they are near a stream, a creek, even a puddle, they will actually wash their food before they eat it. Just a really, really cool thing. And another nocturnal creature, armadillos. But again, think about where they're found in warmer climates, and they're going to want to come out and be active in the evening. Now, I am reminded, talking about nocturnal creatures, of my youth. One of my pets, because I've had many, from lions and tigers and bears on my leg, just every farm animal, whatever it was, I had a hamster. And the hamster is nocturnal. You go, so what's the big deal? Well, I put the wheel, you know, buy a little wheel so he can get his exercise, in his cage. And at night, think about the squeaking of a metal wheel, metal on metal, metal. I'm just, my noises. And I'm like, nah. So he kept me up. See, I've already told you, I go to sleep at 9, wake up at 4:30 in the morning. And I was like, There is no way this wheel stays. So the wheel was out, and I put a ball inside there, and they are the clear plastic balls large enough for a hamster to climb in. There are holes in it so he can breathe, and he will walk around, and he would just walk, but it wasn't a quick walk, and he would just like bang into one side of a cage and bang into the other side of the cage. But they weren't loud bangs like the squeaking of that wheel. So I did keep the hamster, and yes, I did find my sleep. But even though I am a diurnal creature by habit, I still do the owl count for the Audubon Society, because an all-night hike counting owls is well worth me missing a night's sleep. Until next time, enjoy life's adventure. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.